All right, if you would take your scriptures tonight and turn to Matthew chapter 5 once again. We're going to be dealing with two of the Beatitudes tonight, and they sort of go together. They're not together in the scripture text. There are a few verses in between them, but they certainly do go together. And we'll read beginning in verse number three starts out, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Verse number five is one of them that we want to deal with tonight. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Verse number nine is the other one that we'll deal with. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Verse five says, "Blessed are the meek." And verse number nine says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And I dare say that a meek person puts himself in a right position to be a peacemaker. Someone that is not positioned and his disposition or their disposition is not one of meekness certainly would have trouble being someone that would encourage or instill or to help someone to have peace in their life. And the Bible says, "Blessed are the peacemakers," not the warmongers, not the problems, not the fighters, but the peacemakers. And the scripture tells us that we are if we are meek, we shall inherit the earth. And if we are peacemakers, we should be called the children of God. I don't know of a better place or a better thing to be called than a child of the Lord. And the attitude of our heart and our life reflects that which is of the Lord. And certainly He was a giver of peace. And He instructs us to do the same thing. The word beatitude just means to be blessed, and a state of blessedness. It's not a happening that produces rejoicing, but it's a realization that being blessed in spite of the circumstances around us, that we can have joy in our heart, not from those circumstances, but just simply because we are blessed of God. Tonight, you and I, we could take some time. And it might do good if we would take some time sometime just to think about the blessings, what God, how He has blessed us. We are the blessed of the Lord. We are the recipients of His grace and His mercy, and the blessings of God fall upon us. Sometimes we do not even take note of them. Sometimes it's almost so common, the way that we, things that we have in our possession in our way, sometimes we don't even recognize that something may really be that we are a blessed people or a blessed person. Tonight we have things, we have things that we can take a hold of and possessions that God has given to us, and so we could think about those things, but that's really not what the Scripture talks about here in these Beatitudes or these blessings. It's a spiritual realm in which the child of God lives. It's that man that is blessed of the Lord, that he shall have the joy of the knowledge of God. Talks about the pure of heart, they shall see God. Those that are merciful shall obtain mercy. And so it's a never-ending cycle of what we do, God gives back to us. These Beatitudes, this statement or this realization that we have a blessing of the Lord, not what's around us, but because of what's inside of us. And of course, we know we have that blessed Holy Spirit. The blessedness of a Christian's life that can rejoice and renew in our soul. And the verse that says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." I guess the first thing you need to understand about meekness is that it is not synonymous with weakness. Just because a person has a meek spirit does not necessarily mean that he is weak or she is weak. Meekness is an attitude of the heart that gives to us the ability to have things blessing us and have an attitude of what the Lord has done and a sweet spirit about us and to have the things that the Lord gives to us. But then on the other hand, we are not necessarily weak in our spiritual life. We're not weak in our personal life. And I've known some folks that had to stand very strong on some issues, but yet their personal life and their manner of life was one of having meekness in their possession. There's some examples of meek people in the Scripture. I believe the first one that we think about is none other, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a very meek individual. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 29, says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am," and the next word is meek, "I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." Now, we certainly would not ever imagine that when Jesus said that he was meek, that he meant that he was weak. He had the ability, he had the power to do anything he desired to do. He had the power to heal the sick and give sight back to the blind. He had power to raise the dead. He had power to dismiss his own spirit and raise his spirit back up again and to have that resurrection of the body. He did that all by his own power. So he was not a weak individual, but he, by his own testimony, he says, "Learn of me, for I am meek." And so if we would learn of him, if we would look at the personality of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find that his attitude was one of meekness. Even though when he was running the money changers out of the temple, he did it for the reason, for the purpose of establishing the things that were right in the house of the Lord. And he did that not out of meanness, but he did it in his heart and life as meek. Matthew chapter 21, verse 5, it says, "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt of the fold of an ass," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Matthew, as he tells of the Lord riding in on that young donkey coming into the city, he says, he says, "Behold, thy king, and he cometh unto thee with meekness." And thank God tonight we have his attitude that should be in our heart and our life, that we could live in this world and be able to present the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of anyone that will believe upon him and trust him. So the Lord is the prime example of everything that we think of. He's the best example that you'll ever have of a person that is meek, and he says even lowly of heart. Another individual in the Old Testament is a man that we're very familiar with. His name was Moses. And of course, we know that Moses was not weak in his personal life. He didn't feel as though he was capable and had the equipment to do what the Lord wanted him to do. He said, "I'm slow of speech. I don't talk well. And so I can't do what the Lord wants me to do." But he tells us later on, he says in verse number 3 of Numbers chapter 12, says, "Now the man Moses was very meek." He had that attitude about him. And it says, "Above all men which were upon the face of the earth." And all you have to do is read the life of Moses. You'll find out he was not weak. He had the power of God upon him. He was able to lead the children of Israel, but the Scripture, God himself, tells us that Moses was very meek. That spirit about him of leadership and being able to lead folks and that they would follow after him. Another example is the Apostle Paul. Possibly and probably the greatest missionary. I doubt we could ever find anyone any better than Paul. He was instrumental and used of the Lord to write 14 or 15 of our New Testament books, over half of the New Testament written by this one man. And the scripture says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, whom in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you." Paul recognizes the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, but then he says, speaking of himself, "who in the presence am base," same attitude, same understanding here that Paul was very meek in his way of life. And certainly we would not say that Paul was a weak person. He was able to do the work of an evangelist. He was able to do the work and the ministry of a pastor. He was a writer. He was inspired of God. He was not weak, but he was meek. And so the scripture says here, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." That just simply means they're going to have leadway. They're going to have important positions, important places upon this earth. And so to just prove that meekness is not the same as weakness, we have the desire tonight, as a child of God, as a Christian, I believe we ought to desire to have that spirit of meekness about us. But when it comes to protecting things around us, we are very capable and very able to stand and be strong in the things of the Lord. I think when things come up in the Scripture, we ought to be able to stand very strong and stand true. And that doesn't mean that we lose our meekness, but we stand true to the things of God, even in the spirit of meekness, that others might be able to see the Lord living in our heart and in our life. It's the attitude of the soul. It's the attitude of what we portray to people. And that's how we will inherit the things of the earth, is how people observe the child of God. Whether or not we realize it, and I'm sure we do understand it, but everywhere we go and people know that we are a Christian, they're always looking at our life. Now, they're not looking, for the most part, they're not looking for the good things. They're looking for our attitude when it gets bad. And boy, do we ever have that problem. They look and see the ideas that we portray that are not Christ-like. And they'll be the first to bring them up. If that's a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian. And blessed are the meek. And I believe even in struggles and problems, and I'm as guilty as anyone, sometimes we let our minds, our tongues speak before our mind puts in gear the things that we need to portray to people. And I know the world is wicked. I know the world is ungodly. I know the world hates us. I know the world hates righteousness. I know the world hates the Word of God. It hates the Lord. It hates anything that's good and holy and righteous. But that doesn't mean we have to be like them in order to fight the battle. And so we are obligated to be able to present the Scripture and present the things of the Lord just as calmly and truly as possible. And so we find that we have the desire, or we should have the desire, to have that meek spirit, that meek attitude, and that we, even when we have to, we stand for truth and stand for righteousness. And who of us in this building tonight, if our lives were threatened, who would not stand and fight for our life? If our homes and our families were threatened, who of us would not? That doesn't mean we're not, that doesn't mean we're weak just because we have a right spirit. But you let the wicked enemy come, then we can stand and right. We have an obligation to fight the battle. We have the obligation to stand for truth. And the Bible says, having done all, stand. When there's nothing else left to do, just continue to stand. When there's nothing else left to say and nothing else left to try to produce truth, just stand on the things of the Lord, and He will bless us. So we have an obligation. We have an obligation to be right and to be strong and still have that attitude of blessed are the meek. The Lord was talking to His disciples. He did not desire them to be boisterous and loud and proud and all the things that they were and all the things sometimes we are. But he was instructing them here in this first part of the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you need to have these blessings in your life. You need to have this blessedness, and these beatitudes that are given to us is a state of mind. It's not what's around. As I said a while ago, it's not circumstances. Well, circumstances can really make things bad. When everything goes wrong, how do we react to that? Most time we react wrong. Most of the time we don't have the right spirit, the right attitude. And so the Lord was telling His disciples, and He knew that every one of them was going to die a martyr's death. They were going to face troubles. And He said, but you're blessed if you will be meek. And He certainly did not mean to be weak. And those disciples were not. And so there's a spiritual meekness that God wants us to have. A meekness that is a disposition of a gentleness of spirit. I know you've met folks and you say, they just have a good spirit all the time. They just, I see people sometimes, even when they're upset, they look like they're smiling. Even when their problems arise, they still have that calmness about them. And that only comes from the Lord and the Holy Spirit that lives within us, because it's not something that we have automatically. We must build upon that and let the Lord help us. And so a spiritual meekness that it doesn't come naturally. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. The next word is meekness. Put it on. That means you've got to work for it. You've got to deal with it. You've got to cultivate it in your life, because it's not our... as an individual, as a person, we don't normally, we're not very merciful. Normally, the natural man is not very kind. He doesn't show a lot of mercy or kindness. And certainly, he's not humble, and he's not meek. And the last word there in Colossians 3:12 is long-suffering. The natural man doesn't have that. But the spiritual man, the person that has been born again, Paul says, put these things on. That means they're available to us, and so we are to put them on so that we can be, I think, as we look at this next one, that we can be a peacemaker. That we can be one that is not stirring up, but sort of trying to calm down and settle down the things that maybe are around us. Beatitude, blessing, a state of mind, a state of heart, not produced from outside influences, but it's given to us because of who He is and what He does for us. Verse number 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It identifies here the peacemakers as children of God. Not that they will be children of God because they are peacemakers, but they are peacemakers because they are, and they have the Spirit of the Lord. The implication here is that we seek to make peace with others, and then others will know that we are the child of God. That goes along with what I was saying a while ago, what the world sees around us. And as we deal and as we try to serve our Lord in a society and a system that is so anti-God, everything anti-goodness, and as we live in that system that is bombarding us continually, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but I'll tell you what, it's worse now than it's been just a few years ago. Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, everything you read, everything you hear is always strife and turmoil and struggle. And the world needs to see someone that has the spirit of peacemaking in their heart. The political world is in upheaval tonight and has been for sometime. And I don't see it getting any better. And it's just going to continue to grow and grow. And somebody needs to be a peacemaker. Somebody needs to have what we would call a level head, level thinking, and not let outside influences disturb us. But we find that these folks that are peacemakers are going to be called the children of God. There must be something about them that's different. The world used to see, people used to see Christians that were different, and so therefore they knew that as a Christian they were going to live a certain way. In the last few years we have so diluted that line of separation that everybody acts the same, looks the same, does the same, says the same things. And I'm afraid a lot of them are going to the same place when they die. For you see, when the Lord changes, when the Lord comes in, He changes the heart. He changes the attitude. And it doesn't matter, when a person gets saved, something's going to change in their life. There's going to be a starting process. Now, not everything changes at once. That's where sometimes we as Christians, we look at somebody and say, well, they ought to do different. Well, maybe they ought to do different, but they haven't had a real good chance to see difference out of others that call themselves Christians. You know what a shame of it is? Many times when people first get saved, they're all bubbly and serving the Lord and desiring God. Then all of a sudden they sort of cool off and they get like everybody else. That's a struggle. We ought to be standing out in the crowd as a peacemaker. We ought to be standing out in the crowd as a Christian. We don't have to call ourselves peacemakers. If we are peacemakers, they know that we're children of God. That's the identification that the Lord gives us here. And so to be called the children of God, not because of anything other than the attitude of where we live and where we serve and what we do. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant. They may have perceived what was right as far as they were concerned. Peter and John may have not had the education that these folks that were looking at them. They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. But then the next part of the verse says, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. An attitude of the heart doesn't come from the world, it comes from the Lord. These folks that they were speaking to, they maybe were very, very educated, and Peter and John, they just fishermen. They just common everyday people. And they realized they were unlearned. They realized they were ignorant. Now, the word ignorant just means they didn't know things about certain things that they did. I'm ignorant in a lot of things. You're ignorant in a lot of things. That just means you don't know it. And so they took and listened to Peter and John, and they perceived, probably maybe by their speaking and by their talking, that they were unlearned and they were ignorant, but they marveled. And they took note that they had been with Jesus, that they had that spirit of attitude, of heart, of life, important to the world that they would see Christ living in us. It's important to our neighbors. It's important to our family. It's important to our friends that they would see Christ living in us. And we may not have the degrees, we may not have the education, but they ought to know we have been with the Lord. They ought to know that we are children of God. They ought to know by the attitude. God's children take on the characteristics of the Father. Luke chapter number 6, Jesus says, but love ye your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Our Lord, our God, is kind to the unthankful. You know what, this morning the crowd that awoke from their wickedness of the night and their sleep, and they go out to do their wickedness. You know what? God is still kind to them. He lets them live. He gives them breath. He feeds them food. He gives them drink. Even to those that are unthankful and to those that are evil. So in our Heavenly Father, we find kindness and doing good things for those that are evil. Jesus even said on the cross of Calvary, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They part his raiment. There he was kind. He could have come off the cross. He could have called the legion. He could have done all those things, but the Lord was a kind-hearted attitude. And so therefore, as a child of God, we ought to be peacemakers with that kind heart, and we will be known as children of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We're to follow peace. We're to follow holiness. That may not be the path of the world, but it's the path of righteousness. It's the path of a peacemaker, following the good things of the Lord. Follow peace with all men and holiness. And then the Lord says, speaking of holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Only way we're going to see God is to be holy. And that is not the actions and the deeds of an individual. Holiness is what God gives to us and presents to us when we're saved. We become holy. And without that holiness, we will never, never see God. Without that experience of salvation, without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and becoming a child of God, we'll never, never see the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew or hate evil and do good. Let him seek peace. Seeking peace. What is it? A peacemaker. To have peace in our heart and show that to the others. Romans 12, 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, Paul puts that in there, and he says, if it's possible. I've found some people, and I'm sure you have found some people, it's just almost impossible to live peaceably with them. But as much as lieth in us, as much as God will give us grace and give us understanding and give us mercy, let us live peaceably with as many as possible. Let us have the peace of God in our heart so that they might know. And so if it be possible, shows the possibility of being able to do that. And we can have the peace of the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tells us some things. Tells us there's a time for everything. Everything under the earth, there's a time for that. It says there's a time to kill, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of love, a time... You just name it. Ecclesiastes 3 has that. There's a time for everything. But you and I, as a believer and as a Christian, we should be our best and do our best to live peaceably and to be peacemakers with those that are so unruly in their heart, their minds. When we're driving down the road, we don't know who we're meeting. When you're in the store, you don't know what the heart of the person that your buggy goes beside. You have no idea what's in their heart. And they have no idea what's in your heart. But I'll tell you what, if we live correctly and right, they'll know that we've been with the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll know the Spirit and the work of the Lord. One of the devices of the devil, I believe, is division and tearing down. We are living in days of division every way you can think. This book is attacked. Races are attacked. Everything that you can think of, there's a division that is in play to everything. And you and I tonight, we need to know where we stand. We need to know where we what we believe and just be a peacemaker and say, this is what the Word of God says. Now, there'll be those that'll say, it doesn't matter what the Bible says. Well, when a person says that, you can't help them anyway. I mean, if they're not going to accept this book, they're not going to accept anything you say. And so it's a effort, it's a work of futility to try to change someone's heart, and only the Holy Spirit can do that. And so one of the great devices that Satan has today is the division that comes every way you want to look. Biblically, racially, politically, in the family, out of the family, everywhere you look, people are divided. I don't know how many times I've heard in the last year that our country is divided almost 50-50. And you see it everywhere. Everywhere. Blessed are the peacemaker. Where there's a division. Have you ever had divisions in your family? Why, sure. Have you ever had divisions with your children? Yes. Have you ever had divisions between husband and wife? Sure. And so those divisions are there. But we as a child of God ought to be able to work those things out for the glory and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to do that, we must have His mind. Matthew 10:34, think not that I'm come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and his daughter against the mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And man's foes shall they of their own household. The Lord says there's division everywhere. I don't know how many times in the Gospels you'll read that a little phrase after something that's said about the Lord. It says, and there was division because of Him. Jesus Christ caused much division because the divided right and wrong, holy and unholy. And you know what? He still causes division among people. But you and I tonight, as a child of God, we ought to be able to stand forth and let people know this is what the Scripture says. When there is division, then we ought to be the peacemaker. Well, not to stir it. I've met some people. You've met some people. They just want to stir it up, just see how bad it can get. Now, sometimes I do that on my computer. Some of the people I talk to just to aggravate. But that ought not to be where we are in reality of life. For you and I, we should be peacemakers. And if we do that, the Lord says, they shall be called the children of God. Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and one that edify another. Hebrews 12:14, when I read a moment ago, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace to them that make peace. The peacemaker is blessed. The peacemaker is content. The peacemaker is not only content, he is called the children of God. And the peacemaker shall be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And seeking peace and following after peace, bringing peace, edifies and magnifies the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just practical, personal application of these Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called children of God. What's a better title? What's a better thing to be called than a child of God? Thank God tonight we're saved, going to heaven. We are children of God. Let's stand together tonight.